is effective.
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. We realize
our consciousness is effective.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live.
We now bring you the Red Square Report, in-depth coverage of the Quebec student strike. The Quebec student strike has now entered its 4 month, but has moved well beyond a student strike, with thousands of people from all walks of life in Quebec and beyond taking part in protests. We welcome Stephen Christophe to host a roundtable discussion. Hello, Stephen, how are you?
Good, thank you, and hello to all of our listeners. On tonight's Red Square Report, as mentioned, we are going to be looking at the ongoing student strike in Quebec, and now a strike movement that has very much broadened in focus. As the last weeks have gone on, we've seen an increasing number of community groups and unions, artists also taking to the streets to support the student demands for an end to government efforts to hike tuition fees, but also to protest Law 78, the controversial legislation that bans protest demonstrations in and around college and university campuses, legislation widely denounced by legal scholars and activists producing severe restrictions on people's rights to take to the streets to express their political views. Tonight, we're going to be hearing from various activists involved with projects that came together in the context of this historic Quebec student strike. We're going to be looking at Prof Contre les Os, which is a network of professors that have been extremely active on the streets in support of students who have been mobilizing now for months. We're also going to be hearing about a project called Artistes Contre les Os, which is a project that brought together hundreds of artists, now actually thousands, who have signed letters to protest the Quebec government's moves to hike tuition, but also the Quebec government's refusal to negotiate in good faith with student unions and federations. And also, we're going to be hearing about a project called Open We, which is a journal, online journal, that came about during the student strike. It has some excellent, ideas-based reflections and writings on the strike movement. So joining us in studio right now, we have Julie-André Rostand, who is an activist with Prof Contre les Os. She studied art history at Université de Montréal and now teaches at Cégep Saint-Laurent, which is a very active cégep within the strike movement, and is studying towards a PhD in art history and French literature at Concordia. Good day, Julie.
Good evening.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And also from Prof Contre les Os is Simon Lacomte, who's a teacher at Cégep de Vue Montréal since 2003. Simon has been active with Prof Contre les Os and also has produced a series of short films that has taken the government to task in regards to their refusal to address the demands of students. Good day, Simon.
Good day.
Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Cégep de Vue Montréal, one of the first places we saw intense protests this winter. Mm-hmm. And also we have Magda Olamsky, who is involved with the online journal that I mentioned, is an activist and scholar, a doctoral student in the Joint Communication Studies program at Concordia University. In Toronto, she was heavily involved in community politics through various initiatives and has been central in putting this very interesting journal online. Good day, Magda.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Before we get into the discussion, what's the web address of that journal, just so people could check it out if they're at home?
Sure. It's actually called Open Y, mm-hmm. and it's wi.mobilities.ca.
Okay. And Sophie has just joined us. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Maybe
good
you afternoon. Could just, Sophie has been very involved in, I've seen you on the streets now for weeks and weeks at the night demonstrations, but also you've been involved with a project called Artistes contre les os, and also with the letter that was issued just yesterday to the culture minister, Saint-Pierre, here in Quebec. Maybe we'll start with you, actually, since that's news that has just come out. If you could talk a bit about Artistes contre les os, and specifically this letter that over 2,600 artists signed. What was the basis of this letter to the culture minister of Quebec, and why was it so important to put it out there?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Artistes contre la os, and we have a website, artistescontrelaos.org. And maybe I'll backtrack a little bit so that we understand this more recent letter. Artistes contre la os put out a declaration of solidarity with the student strike movement in April. And basically, more than 700 artists and cultural workers signed on. And the idea was to send this letter to the culture, the Minister of Culture, to kind of like explain to her the link between the intimate link between education and culture and support for the arts and support for free accessible education. And so the idea being that we thought maybe naively that someone who is representing cultural workers and artists would be sensitive to this kind of logic. And ironically, a few days ago, she made that declaration saying that the Red Square is obviously a symbol of violence and intimidation for the government.
So the red felt patch that hundreds of thousands of people
that
are kids,
wearing across...
That kids,
grandparents, all kinds of professionals are wearing to support the student movement, that all these people are somehow violent is obviously ridiculous. But so it was... It was imminent that we react to that. Mm-hmm. But Artistes contre la os did not organize that letter. It was a sort of an independent organic initiative, mm-hmm. I think.
It was almost spontaneous.
Yeah.
Artists were very upset about the statements of the culture minister of Quebec.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I think, Artistes contre la os is one of the many initiatives that is artists, cultural worker-led. And so, but beyond that too, I mean, like, it's not so surprising that the Minister of Culture would follow the party line, but I think...
The Parti Libéral de Quebec.
Yeah.
She went beyond than just following the party lines. She just repeated everything that the other ministers have been saying. Nothing imaginative, just repeated the same old thing, the Red Square violence and intimidation. And she actually said it. Offensing one artist, she wanted to give an award to Fred Pellerin. Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm not going because right now I cannot party and be honored. I'm not showing up. I'm sorry." And then she says, "He's wearing the Red Square. He's backing the violence and intimidation."
Well, maybe just for people who aren't aware, could we hear a bit about the artist who refused to take this Quebec government-sponsored reward and just for people who aren't aware of the full story you mentioned?
Fred Pellerin is a conteur. He tells stories. He's been very successful.
Storyteller.
A storyteller. He's been very successful for 4 or 5 years.
Musician and singer, too. He did an album. Mm-hmm.
That's true. He did an album, and he was honored. I don't know exactly what the prize was. Maybe...
C'est l'Ordre du Québec, something.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he just said, I'm honored, and thank you, but let's do the party some other time when this is over.
Well, it's an interesting response because when we're talking about the social crisis right now in Quebec, this is an idea that a lot of student activists, but also community activists, yeah, put forward during the Grand Prix, which was that we can't ignore that a social crisis, a political crisis exists in Quebec. How can we have this huge party in this context, and how can the government just simply try to ignore hundreds of thousands of people on the streets? In regards to the government's refusal really to sit down in a long-term way with student federations, Prof. Contenezos has played a very interesting role, and maybe we could just expand on that a bit more. I remember when the government tried to impose legislation that forced cégeps to open, Prof. Contenezos was very involved in trying to challenge that legislation. But maybe just first for listeners who aren't aware, could you explain a bit about Prof. Contenezos?
Prof. Contenezos started actually very at the beginning of the strike. First week of March, there's a Hunsic cégep teacher that threw up the idea. He said, okay, I'd like to hear other opinions. What do other cégep teachers think? He did a Facebook event. 15 people were supposed to show up. We were 100. And this turned out 100 plus the people in Rimouski on Skype with us.
Yeah. And university teachers.
A few university teachers. Yeah. One table of university teachers for about 15 tables of cégep teachers. But from Sherbrooke, from Saint-Jérôme, from Valleyfield, from all around Montreal. And we just started talking and... We're still talking. Today was the 14th meeting, and Prof. Contenezos is not one organization. That was very important for us from the beginning, not to have an official name, an official spokesperson, or anything like that, because then you need to talk about every issue and position yourself. Every single person in Prof. Contenezos is only acting upon his individual responsibility. But since we talk in those meetings, someone says, oh, I have this idea. I'm willing to organize this. And so people network, work together. So that's the basic the way it works. And it means we never all agree on one thing. Mm-hmm. We have different opinions.
It seems you agree on one thing, which is that the student fees should be not hiked by the government.
Exactly. That's the basic common ground.
Yeah. Julie, maybe speak a bit about your involvement in Prof. Contenezos.
For my part, I've been with Prof. Contenezos not from the beginning. First of all, I've decided to be involved as a simple, as a free electron.
And as a citizen of Quebec.
Yeah, that's it. But as an ancient student with a very important debt, but I decided to go at Cégep. It was at Cégep Maisonneuve. Mm-hmm. It was at Cégep and Maisonneuve, and I was involved with the Chaîne Solidaire, les Profs Solidaires.
Mm-hmm. The Chain of Solidarity.
The Chain of Solidarity, and we were supposed to put ourselves between the anti-emote and the student. So that we were expecting that a police officer would be less
aggressive,
but that wasn't the case.
Actually, when was that again?
It was my first action was at the Montreal, le port de Montréal. Mm-hmm. And we did pepper sprayed.
You were pepper sprayed by the police.
Pepper sprayed, la matraque baton and everything. Mm-hmm. That was awful.
Well, there was a few times where the line of solidarity of teachers did prevent some aggression, I think. There's a few contexts where it did manage to keep a little bit of peace. The police officers are, and we've heard it today again from colleagues who were arrested in this weekend, and they were saying that the officers were actually... saying vous to the teachers and tu to the students and respecting the teacher, actually offering the teachers, what do you think about violence? And if the teacher had said, I'm against violence, then she would have walked away. But she did not say that. So from that moment, then she was treated like a student.
I don't know if it happened to you, but because, well, we look young. Let's say that we look young. So sometimes they
You yourself are still a student.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're done studies.
Well,
dealing with student debt.
I'm beginning a PhD, but I've decided to, because I don't have any much money to put in that. So I'm trying to reform my debt. So.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
You look young.
Yes, so the police officer often took me as a student, mm-hmm. and they start beginning with the tu. T'as pas le droit de prendre des photos. I've been told that
I'm not aware to take photos.
So, mm-hmm. But they were using le tu. And since they know that I'm a teacher, they switch to the vous and
So you're teaching now at Cégep Saint-Laurent?
Yeah.
So as a professor, why is it being so important for you to be on the front lines?
Well, it's and on the front line?
Yeah.
Oh, it's protect my student. Because, of course, my student, I'm working for my student. I'm not working for the government. I'm not working for even, of course, I'm working for the CEGEP where I'm working. But first of all, I'm working for the student. Mm-hmm. And if my student are threatening, assaulted, I would put myself between. Of course, I will. If someone enter my class and assault my student, I will do everything to protect my student. Okay. So that's the same thing on the front line. Yeah.
So Prof. Contenezos is one of the important groups that has been demonstrating support for the student strike across Quebec with teachers and professors at college and university campuses across Quebec. You're tuned into Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's 5:20, and this is a special edition of Red Square Report. And we're looking at the ongoing student struggle that is now broadened into a social movement. Magda, I'd like to turn to you now. An online journal came out, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now, that received a lot of attention for critical analysis and writings concerning the student strike movement. Maybe can you just explain the project a bit for people who aren't aware, and also why did this initiative come about?
Sure. The initiative came about from a few of the faculty at Concordia and the Communication Studies Department that have been very active. So I'd just like to say it's Kim Sawchuk, Owen Chapman, who are two professors, also Allison Maya and myself, who are PhD students, and Ben Spencer, who's part of our lab. The special issue came out because all of us were heavily involved going to the protests. You know, several of us have gotten arrested, all kinds of things. But also as academics, as Anglo academics, we were thinking, how do we put it forth another facet of kind of legitimacy to the strike, specifically because it's often said that it's more of a, in the Anglo world, it's said to be a Francophone movement. It's said to be very specific things. And we thought, well, how do we kind of bridge, you know, the French and the English together, and also the academics, so showing, you know, professors that are really involved, and also thinking critically and showcasing how you can think critically about the strike and the movement and what's been going on. So there is a journal that Kim Sawchuk has, WE, which is a journal of mobilities, and we thought coming from that we can put together a kind of special journal, which was a special issue.
What was the special issue called?
Just open wide.
Okay.
But it's actually going to, another issue is coming to fruition this weekend, and then it's going to be ongoing, I think.
What are some of the things, the ideas, writings that people could find?
Some of the things, I guess my story that about getting arrested, although it's doesn't have my name on it, I guess, for legal purposes. There's also a really interesting piece by Brian Masumi, a professor at University of Montreal, just thinking about what this means for neoliberal tactics, how they get transposed onto us in our public space. There's another article really interesting about the performance aspect and the performativity of the strike. There's also photographs.
More of the artistic elements.
That's right. That's right. And also thinking about the sonic of the movement.
Casseroles, chants.
Yeah. And the movement of the strike protests, and also just the sounds of what it means, you know, the sounds of the grenades, right? We all know. And what
you're talking about, the police sonic grenades.
Yeah. So all the different sonic aspects of the strike, for instance.
And where can people find the journal that has been published and the one that will be coming out on Monday?
On the website?
Yeah. What's the website?
So the website again is wi.mobilities.ca.
Okay, great. Well, I found the writings really, really great. A lot of things that we don't see in the Anglo print press. If we're reading the Gazette, we can obviously see the extreme bias against the strike. And maybe just on that point of media, what do you think about the use of given you did a publication, a journal, the use of the term boycott by the English press?
Please.
I think that's been a big struggle, especially at Concordia, right? Because particularly so salient, I mean, we have contributors from all over, but it's salient for our profs and everyone at Concordia to really denounce the term boycott.
Because,
because it's not a boycott. A boycott specifically refers to boycotting a specific product. And so it's easy to say, well, this is just a boycott. It's easy for the administration to just really delegitimize all the components of the strike.
And if I may jump in, I think that is the most violent act of this whole strike, is a lexical violence,
semantic
violence. The fact that the Premier Minister, the one Minister of the Youth, has been systematically using other words, ignoring the fights, ignoring the revendications, saying boycott instead of strike. Strangely enough, when this young man was in high school, he was on the union board of his high school and made strikes to have
Mr.
girls
Jean,
in his school.
Jean Charest.
Yes. Okay. And now, when he did it, with 16 and 17 years old, there were strikes, and now they're boycotts. And worse to that, in French, he keeps using the word boycott, whereas that's an Anglicism, and in French one should say a boycottage. He's not even linguistically correct. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest violent act.
Mm-hmm. Well, some commentary around the battle in the media around the utilization of the term boycott has looked at how it decollectivizes. It removes the collective aspect from the strike. Any further reflections on that?
Of course, because a boycott is an individual act against a product, against a larger kind of commercial venture. And this is definitely, and I think you mentioned this as well in your group, that it doesn't necessarily have a hierarchy, or, you know, you're kind of coming together. And it's really important to see that this is so much more than our individual needs, right? So much more than I'm fighting for, not just for myself. And I think that's the problem I found with the Anglo media, is they really focus on the individual students, even the kind of stories they have.
The French media as well.
Yeah.
The French media was also terrible. The best reliable source was university radios, CKUT, CUTV, and so on. Le Devoir and Written Press is pro-strike, but TVA and so they just like the same, like English media. They always individualize the debate, and they're les enfants rois.
I think it's difficult for them to comprehend that collectives can really form and work together for a purpose outside of themselves. Like you're saying, you know, you're there for your students, and you're there. Like, I think it's really difficult for them, especially in this kind of neoliberal world, that we can work together somehow, even if we have different opinions.
So we only have a few minutes left on the panel now, but I would like to just touch on the night protests, because we moved to... I think it's been 52 nights or 53 nights.
Tonight
will be the 53rd night protest in a row, which is unprecedented.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I've seen you, Sophie, at many of the night protests. Maybe as an artist or somebody who's been involved, you know, with various artistic projects, I'm just wondering if you could comment a bit about the night protests. We've seen casseroles, we've seen drumming groups, we've seen various theatrical street installations, many creative signs. How have the night protests been for you? And do you have any comments on specifically their artistic nature?
I mean, I think in general, the student strike movement has been so, so creative. Like, as someone who organizes around bringing artists and activists together, I've been so impressed by the fact that this movement embodies the fact that creativity is also a kind of a political creativity. It's like a political engagement is at the heart of remaining creative, and the night demo itself, I find, like, is an artwork, and all the strategies, despite the all the tactics and repression that come out, have been so inspiring. So
and by the way, I just want to say, it's for you better. That would be so great to do an exhibition of every visual manifestation we had with the strike since the beginning. So I think we should speak together after the show.
So I guess just on a last point, a lot of people now are paying attention. Eyes and ears of not only people in Quebec but across the world are looking to the student movement right now in Quebec. Is there any sort of points of information that you think people should look towards in the next couple of weeks?
Rest. Gain up forces. Go there on the 22nd and on the 22nd and make sure you're ready for the fight comes August.
So that's the 22nd of June. There is going to be a major demonstration. Yeah.
And Quebec City.
Quebec City.
And in Montreal.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us today on CKT's Off the Hour for the Red Square Report. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
We've been speaking with... a panel of guests involved with various initiatives and projects around the Quebec student strike, now quickly turning into a social movement. We've been hearing from Artistes contre les os, which is online at artistescontrelaos.org. We've heard from Prof contre les os, which is Prof contre les Laos.org. And also we've been hearing about an online journal, which is OpenY, which is a great publication that I really would encourage people to check out. Again, the URL?
wi.mobilities.ca.
Okay,
please
great.
Please go check it out. And we have a Twitter. You can follow us, all the rest.
Okay. Well, thank you again, everybody, for being here. To end this panel discussion, I just wanted to play a track of audio that was recorded at one of the night demonstrations on the streets of Montreal, the nightly protest that started at 8:30 at Barré-UQAM Metro. It is Street Drummers, and you can hear what it sounds like at the protests. And of course, for a calendar of events and the specifics on where demonstrations are happening, you can visit bloconleos.com, which you can find also in English at you can find it also in English at stopthehike.ca. This is CKUT 90.3 FM.